This is our number 10.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Aaron, I'm very confused about this toll reduction thing.
Okay. Did you say confused?
I'm confused.
Okay.
What's the question on it?
Okay. Who gets the reduction? Is it people like, yeah, I assume you just drive like a normal car, like a two-axle vehicle? Should it be them who gets the reduction or the big rigs who actually do tend to pay a little bit more than normal drivers like you and I do?
And what stretch are we talking about?
The Tacoma Narrows Bridge.
Mm. Why wouldn't they just give it to everybody?
I don't know. But you can go to mynorthwest.com, find a link to the plan. I think there are three options up there, and you can decide which one you like best. You can give it to everybody if you'd like to. The rates are going down. It sounds like by 75 cents. They're currently $5.25.
Well, and it's only eastbound, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just drove over the Narrows last weekend. Why wouldn't everybody get the rebate or the refund or the lower price? Let's help everybody out. Okay. By the way, I'm a little ticked off. I just pulled up to try to find that story. And the spotlight story on My Northwest, Seattle facing $117 million revenue shortfall in 2023. I covered this yesterday. It's not a revenue shortfall. It's a spending overage. So just want to point that out. All right. I'm voting for everybody, Aaron.
Okay. You should. You're part of the public. The public can comment.
Yeah. I like the truckers. I like the people. I like everybody. See, I'm love. I'm just love. Good pure, unadulterated love. Okay. Welcome to the Fast 15, a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Speaking of love, I did not mean to segue like this.
This ain't the Garden of Eden.
Years ago, Jenny Durkin famously declared it the summer of love in Seattle. And then people started getting raped and murdered in Chaz and Chop, which he said, block party, love. And it turned out to be an absolute disaster. And then ironically, a few months after, we told you about this story, but I started looking into this lawsuit last night so I could talk with you about it. Yesterday, we reported that one of the anti-police Black Lives Matter protesters who was hit by a car on I-5 is now suing you and me, the taxpayers. And do you remember the two victims? And if you don't know the story, if you're new to the area, there were almost nightly protests where the protesters would walk out onto I-5, which is an enormously dangerous thing to do. And one night in the summer of love, two women whose names were Summer and Love, in one of the most bizarre ironies in all of history, they were among the group that went out onto I-5 one night that summer. Summer Taylor, who was 24 years old, she was hit by a car. The police tried to shut down I-5, but this one guy drove on an off-ramp to get onto I-5, came up an off-ramp and was able to get onto the freeway and then sped down towards the protesters, hit 24-year-old Summer Taylor. She was killed. Another person who was hit was 34-year-old Diaz Love. But seriously, and I know it struck all of us at the time, but after Jenny Durkin had declared it the summer of love, what in the world are the odds that the two protesters who were hit on I-5 were named Summer Taylor and Diaz Love? Well, anyway, fast forward to this week. Diaz Love is now suing the taxpayers of Seattle and Washington State and the driver accused of hitting her. Now, suing the driver accused of hitting her, all for it. Even though I think adults, I think a 34-year-old should know. You might have heard from your parents when you were a little kid that you shouldn't play on the freeway. But they assumed this unbelievable risk of going out onto I-5, where not only, you know, were they at the whims of, you know, whatever the police were able to do to try to stop traffic, but also there are a lot of people who are furious every single night who are stuck in their cars while these people are marching out on I-5. So anyway, Diaz Love, she takes no responsibility for the incident, and she has serious injuries. There's no question about that. Traumatic brain injury, multiple fractures, lacerations, other wounds, according to her lawsuit. But now that she's somewhat healed up, she's lawyered up, and in fact, this is getting national attention. Victoria Taft, who's a frequent guest of our show, she wrote about this. And she talks about the irony that these nightly protests by Black Lives Matter that leaked onto I-5 were all about that they hate the police, that all cops are B-words. Pigs in a blanket, fry, 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 they would chant. And now she says that the police, that she was out there protesting, should have protected her better. They had shut down the freeway. They didn't know that some maniac was going to drive up an off-ramp to get onto southbound I-5 so he could elude the police blockage of the freeway and drive through this protest. Here's what King 5 wrote about it yesterday. The lawsuit claims that Washington State Patrol's longstanding policy is to not allow protesters onto the freeway due to safety concerns. However, that changed when racial justice protests erupted after the murder of George Floyd. What kind of sense does that make? Yes, what happened with George Floyd is horrible. And the cop who put George Floyd under his knee is in prison for decades and decades and decades. But what sense did it make for a bunch of little spoiled children here in Western Washington to shut down traffic, to paint our police department? Seattle Police Department was hailed as one of the best in the country at the reforms that they had done. All the things that the protesters were demanding, Seattle police had been hailed before the summer of 2020 as being one of the best in the nation. And what's happened since all these protests, since these maniacs on the Seattle City Council defunded the police, since we lost 300 Seattle cops and counting and are at about 50% staffing, what's happened? Well, murders are up, rapes are up, property crime is up, killing of black and brown people is up. Ironically, the Black Lives Matter protests led to a dramatic increase in the murder of black and brown people. And these spoiled children who are out on I-5 further degrading our society, because we have seen the last 2 years the effect that this has had. Go see all the boarded up downtown street front sidewalk businesses that still have not reopened because of what happened. And now they're claiming that the police that they were protesting should have done a better job of protecting her because somebody drove up an off-ramp onto I-5 to get down and kill one woman, desperately hurt the one who's suing now. It's just crazy. They had a news conference. Spokeswoman said, quote, "This lawsuit was brought on behalf of peaceful protesters. Their peaceful protests were met with the very thing that they are protesting against. They were met by excessive force from the police." I don't know what that means. What excessive force? The police shut down the freeway. Some guy got around it. It's unbelievable. But this is the kind of childlike mentality that people like this 34-year-old woman seem to embrace. They talk about how much they hate the police, how despicable the police are, and then they demand that those very same cops protect them when they go and play on the freeway. It's unbelievable. It's really something to watch. We will keep a very close eye as this lawsuit progresses here. All right, up next in the big lead. No, no.
It's the Fastest 15.
Andrew, what am I doing here? Fast 15, right?
That's right.
See, like I told Aaron at the beginning of the hour, I'm all confused here.
It's a sunny day. The day is just flying
what?
By. Sunny and beautiful out, and the day's just flying by, right?
Are you? I'm not going to succumb to that. No, I'm not making excuses. I'm not. I'm in a summer mentality. No, I'm here to do the best show possible for our listeners, and I take full responsibility for everything that I do. Okay, so what's up next here? Did you ever send me anything, Nicole?
I thought I did.
No, you didn't. So, what's that? Just tell me.
Colbert.
Oh, yeah. I intimately know every story that we're going to talk about. Oh, yeah, this is good. So, as you know, over the weekend, Stephen Colbert sent 9 staffers to the U.S. Capitol, and he claims that they had made arrangements to interview members of Congress. And the interviewer, Triumph, the insult comic dog. And by the way, Stephen Colbert, who's one of the unfunniest people in America, and just, oh, his affectations. I have never seen anybody who seems so ill at ease, considering that he's in front of a camera and has been for decades now. But just his phoniness. Oh, he has to hug his band leader every night. I never saw Johnny hug Doc. I never saw Dave hug Paul. I never saw Dick Cavett hug whoever Dick Cavett's band leader was. But everybody, ooh, hugs. We're so progressive. Hug time. Anyway, 9 members of Stephen Colbert's staff got arrested by Capitol Police for trespassing. And it's ironic because right now we're having these hearings in Congress for the insurrection of January 6th. So last night, Tucker Carlson decided to goof on Colbert and his staffers getting arrested at the Capitol.
Stephen Colbert, in what the literary community refers to as foreshadowing, described his own coup. And yet Stephen Colbert somehow still has access to the airwaves and to digital media, spreading his hate unfettered, convincing future generations of insurrections to do what his team of saboteurs did last week. That must stop. People who plan coups must be silenced. There's recent precedent for that, and anyone who disagrees should be disconnected from Amazon Web Services immediately.
Okay, see, you know, it's all tongue-in-cheek, of course. But Stephen Colbert, oh, man, he was furious when he went on the air last night after Tucker Carlson had said that.
Now, it's predictable why these TV talkers are talking like this on the TV. They want to talk about something other than the January 6th hearings on the actual seditionist insurrection that led to the deaths of multiple people and the injury of over 140 police officers. But drawing any equivalence between rioters storming our Capitol to prevent the counting of electoral ballots and a cigar-chomping toy dog is a shameful and grotesque insult to the memory of everyone who died. And it obscenely trivializes the service and the courage the Capitol Police showed on that terrible day.
So if anybody on January 6th had been carrying a dog puppet, would that have been okay? If they weren't violently rioting, if I'm talking about the people, there are a lot of people sitting in prison because they walked through the building. Now, they shouldn't have done it. They were trespassing. But there are people who have been sitting in prison for a couple of years for peaceably and peacefully walking through the Capitol. But if you have a puppet of a dog, which, by the way, is a bit that Colbert ripped off from Conan O'Brien, because Conan O'Brien had Triumph, the insult common dog, on for years. So it's just another ripoff. But, oh, my goodness, he was furious, that Colbert.
In this case, our puppet was just a puppet doing puppet stuff. And sad to say, so much has changed in Washington that the Capitol Police do have to stay at high alert at all times because of the attack on January 6th. And as the hearings prove more clearly every day, the blame for that actual insurrection all lies with Putin.
Yeah, it's all Putin's fault. We all know that. Okay. Yeah, carry a puppet if you're going to peaceably protest, because that gives you legal cover, apparently, according to Stephen Colbert. Up next in the Fastest 15, as you know,
everything woke turns to.
And Disney might be the latest example. Disney stock has now fallen 50% over the last year. Disney stock was at $187 a share 1 year ago. Today, while the market has gone down about 20%, Disney stock has gone down 50%. And we told you yesterday, as Disney goes woke, as Disney embraces things that are antithetical to the families that want to protect their kids from being overly sexualized up until third grade, as Disney decided with Pixar in the new Lightyear film to insert a lesbian kiss just so that they could look progressive. And again, there's nothing wrong with lesbians kissing. It's just, parents don't want to have that foisted upon their kids when they just want to watch a Pixar movie. And Lightyear came in at $51 million on the holiday weekend just ended. It was projected to be over $100 million in opening box office. It's less than 50%. And you know what? Maybe they don't like the new voice of Lightyear, Chris Evans, who replaced Tim Allen. To say that anybody who doesn't want that stuff in the movie.
Well, I mean, the real truth is those people are idiots. I mean, I think throughout history you can see every time there's been.
Yeah, if you don't want your 5-year-old to be propagandized, you're an idiot. I don't know that it's a good idea, Disney, Pixar, to call your customers idiots just because they don't want their kids to be used for some social justice causes. Maybe, just maybe, critical, radical thought here. Maybe people just want to be entertained and not make everything some kind of a social justice cause. Just a thought. Hey, Disney, if you need a new CEO, give me a call. I'll quadruple your stock in a year. Okay, and all that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Oh, I couldn't possibly be more excited about this. It's Tuesday afternoon, and that means it's time for a weekly visit with Dave Wyman, right after we check the news here on the Dory Monson Show. Alice Cooper,
that takes
Story
up one.
Hey, I'm very focused today, Dave.
Can I have Aaron Granillo's voice?
No.
Yeah. I'll just write stuff out, what I want to say, comments, and I'll have Aaron come in and say it.
I'll charge you for voiceover work.
Yeah. Well, wait, if Dave takes your voice, Aaron, then
willing to pay the price.
You will be silent. I don't want that, Aaron.
I don't think Aaron wants to say the things that I say. He doesn't want to sound like a total buffoon.
I would like to hear some of the things you say in Aaron's voice. That would take it to a whole new level of gravitas.
How about this one, Aaron? This is how I respond to people. Hey, numbnuts, did you even watch the game last night? How about that?
Yeah, I don't see that coming from Aaron.
Not
going
to do it.
No. Good try.
Good decision, Aaron.
Yeah, maybe if you put the right price on it.
I do have a price, yeah. Everyone has a price. That's right.
Oh, that's exactly what I'm talking about here. That's unbelievable that you guys just set it up so well. Brand new study that's out. Fewer people than ever want to become billionaires.
According
to a new study, yeah. Researchers from a university have found that few people around the world actually want to become billionaires. They think that unlimited wants are a negative motivating force for everyone on the planet, and everybody's on a consumerist treadmill right now. And if, in case people don't know, Dave Wyman has famously said that if somebody came up to him and offered him, where were the two options? I don't want to make it too wide a spread.
Well, it was kind of a little bit, because, you know, $1 million is nothing to sneeze at. But I said if it was $100 million Or maybe I said a billion. A billion or a million, I would take the million. Because the million, right. You know, you could, I mean, that would change your life pretty significantly. And, you know, at my age, you could probably retire in style and things like that. But well, $1 billion.
A million? You don't retire in style with a million.
Well, I mean, yeah. I've worked pretty hard up to this point. I'm just saying, if you add that on, yeah, that would make a difference. But as far as, you know, the other one, like if you have $100 million or like $1 billion, you don't have to do anything. And you know what I always use as an example? Mm. I hate unloading the dishwasher. You could pay somebody to come over. It's a grind, man. I just can't take it.
Yes.
Oh, it's brutal. And my wife has like 400 different glasses.
Sure.
There's like margarita glasses and there's coffee mugs and there's, yeah.
I still occasionally time myself because that's your game, right? Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Jessamine and I used to do that.
Yep.
Yeah. She
it's
had
very her, annoying.
Hers was 90 seconds, I think, was her record. But no, I mean, you wouldn't have to do that. You wouldn't have to do anything. Like, you know, you could have a servant go down and get me a coffee, you know? You could have somebody wipe your backside. Really? I mean,
wait a second.
You wouldn't have to do anything.
Wow. Well,
I'm telling you.
Wait, you wouldn't hire somebody to do that, but maybe you could afford one of those little squirts.
Bidet.
Yep.
Bidet.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could get a bidet. Here's the thing.
That's too much of a hassle for a billionaire. Just have somebody do have it done. Contract work.
I mean, if it's like 1 million or 10 million, I'd take the 10 million. 1 million or a billion. I think a billion is a corrupting number.
Exactly.
And
it makes you weird.
My listeners are probably sick and tired of me repeating this, but because I think I've told it a couple of times. I heard a story about 2 weeks ago, and I just love it. There were two authors, famous book authors, back in the 60s and 70s, and they were at a Midtown Manhattan mansion for a hedge fund manager. And he was a billionaire, and he had models on both arms and a yacht and a private jet. And one of the authors, was like Kurt Vonnegut was one of them. He said, yeah, I have something he'll never have. And the other guy said, what's that? And he said, enough. I have enough.
Yeah.
Those are I was just looking, like today, Elon Musk, his 18-year-old son, said, I'm a girl, I'm changing my name, I don't want Musk in my name, and I don't want anything to do with my father.
Hmm.
And the other richest guy in the world, Sergey Brin of Google, he just announced a couple days ago, they're getting a divorce. And it just seems like you're always looking for something else instead of loving what you got. When you get up, when at that stratosphere, you'd think people would be somewhat a little more content, but it always works the other way around.
Yeah, it's like an empty hole that you just can never fill it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah, I think
it's like an empty hole. What other kind of holes are there?
I know. I knew you were going to say that. I just said something. I've really turned it into, you know, Jake Heaps. He was on our. You know, he's moving to work with Russell, but
right. He
would say these things all the time. We had a whole list. Like this guy's a real jack of all aces. Or he would say, you can't see the forest through the weeds. He had all these malaprops that we would keep track of. And every once in a while, like, I'm like, yeah, I'm willing to talk.
Okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to your point.
Empty hole.
You can't fill an empty hole.
Yeah.
Because it's always too much. You need too much. Okay. Well, apparently more and more people in the world agree with you. And I would not, I do believe the biblical, easier to get a camel through the eye of a needle than a rich man into heaven. So,
yeah.
I'm with you on that. And I will also say,
wasn't the needle go through the camel? No, never mind.
I don't know.
I'm sorry.
I would much rather, as you know, my wife and I, on Sunday, 2 days ago, we had our 35th wedding anniversary.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody who loves their wife as much as you do. I mean, you are still passionately in love with Shannon. And man, I would much rather have that than be a billionaire who keeps, could you even imagine dating right now if you had
no.
to?
Oh my God. What a disaster that would be. Yeah, the last time I dated, well, you heard my pickup line on Shannon. when we were at a car dealership and she was a Sea Gal and I was a Seahawk and we were there, you know, and I don't know if she had her uniform on or whatever, the sweats. And then she was talking about, you know, cheering, and then they have to go up to the sponsor booths and say hi to people. And I'm like, well, don't you get sweaty when you cheer?
We would love to hear that.
Yeah, they loved it. You know what she
did?
That
was the first thing you said to her?
It was one of, I was just trying, and as soon as it came out of my mouth, I was like, stupid, shut up.
Casanova.
You know what she said?
What?
She said, we don't sweat, we perspire.
Oh.
She bailed me out.
And that was like, a very okay, Shannon-like line.
Yeah.
Shannon was Shannon even back then. I like
that. That's right.
Faded as my jeans. Janis Joplin?
Janis Joplin, wow, Doris got two up.
I'm down 0-2. You got your piece of paper there?
Yeah.
There it is.
Dory 9, Dave 9 in 2022. So the winner today.
Get ready for a tiebreaker.
Edge is in front. We will continue our conversation with Dave Wyman in just a moment as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Windshield wiper slapping time. I know this one. Paul McCartney?
No, not Paul.
Yes.
Yes, I'm afraid Dory's won it today. He's up 3.
Yes?
Yes.
No.
No. Yes. It's a good one. Well, the next one, Dave, it's going to be for Pride.
I think the people who were in Yes built another band called Asia. Am I wrong about that?
I think you are correct. And also, one of the drummers for Yes lived here in Seattle and just passed away a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, well, there's...
He was the drummer on John Lennon's Imagine, and about a month ago, somebody stole his drum kit.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, that's Seattle for you. Hey, have you guys been talking about this golf thing?
A little bit.
Saudi incursion?
Yeah, a little bit.
So in case people don't know the story, so the PGA Tour has been around forever, and now Saudi Arabia, backed by the government, they are starting a competing golf tour called LIV, and they are luring some of the top golfers in the world. Phil Mickelson reportedly got $200 million to switch to the Saudi league. Brooks Koepka, one of the biggest names today, he just announced today he's switching over. And there are a lot of people saying, well, this is blood money. The Saudis were involved in 9/11. Mm-hmm. And then other people say, well, if you get offered $100 million or $200 million, who's going to say no to that?
Me.
You would?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're making plenty of money. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe if I was in a different, you know, it was sitting in front of me, but... Yeah, and it's a different kind of... They do a shotgun start. I mean...
They do a shotgun start. Yeah, they have an event coming up in Portland, so they're doing events in the States here.
Yeah, and it's three... And shotgun means everybody goes to a hole and starts. So then, it's just... It's weird. It's like somebody came in and, you know, threw enough money around to just entirely change the whole thing. So...
Yeah, and all of these guys, you know, Phil Mickelson, Brooks Koepka, they are filthy rich already with their earnings and their endorsements.
Yeah.
But in Phil Mickelson's case, he reportedly is an absolute degenerate gambler. And he might have taken the money because, you know, there's some reports that he's blown almost everything, you know, like 9 figures of lifetime earnings and endorsements on gambling.
Yeah. And, you know, that's terrible. Can you imagine? And also, you know, if you have that much money, and we talk about that with like Barkley or, you know, the guys that are known to go and gamble, like what gets your blood going? I mean, $1,000 on a hand of blackjack or whatever, that's not going to get you going, right?
That's not a rush.
No.
Then if you're in that. Did you hear what Barkley said about this, though? Here's Charles Barkley on the golfers.
Hey, I'm serious. Hey, they said Phil Mickelson got $200 million and Dustin Johnson got $150 million. Hey, for $150 million, I'd kill a relative, even one I like.
So, jeez. Barkley doesn't have any problem with it. He would kill a relative for that amount of money.
Yeah. Barkley always entertaining, though.
Yeah, he is. Which leads to what next thing I was going to ask you. Rob Gronkowski just announced he's retiring today.
Gronk's the best.
That was see, and that's the thing. I don't know anybody who doesn't like Rob Gronkowski. Charles Barkley. I don't know anybody who doesn't like Charles Barkley. Almost every, you know, Tom Brady, people hate him. A lot of people hate Russell Wilson. Who else? Who, I mean, besides Gronk and Charles Barkley, who are the other guys in athletics that everybody seems to love? No. I should have told you in advance that I was going to ask this because it's a question you got
to
think
well,
about.
Well, you know, I like Tom Brady. I love it.
Oh, I do, too.
People see him blow up on the sidelines every once in a while and things like that. I know he got mad when he got hit in the lip the other, you know, the playoff game. He was bleeding. You know, God forbid Tom Brady bleed. But, I like him. But you're right. I mean, you look at – he's just a lovable meathead. Rob Gronkowski is.
Right.
You know, and it's funny. I remember a buddy of mine who was a scout, he said he went over and – to his house one time, and you know, he was there with his brothers, and they were like wrestling and, you know, lifting weights and, you know, doing weird you know, like flips off the diving board in the pool. I mean, they're just like, that's who he is.
Police.
Wow, that was fast.
Wow, that's a sweep right there.
I'm sorry,
you would think I would take one out of five like the Mariners should have against the the Angels.
Yeah.
Actually, they did, but
that's a topic I didn't get to.
Yeah.
All right. You can hear the great Dave Wyman, every afternoon on 710 Seattle Sports. Thank you for coming
Thanks
by.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, Dave Wyman, every Tuesday. News, Big League 2, next.